As we step into a new month, I want to take a moment to acknowledge something many of us are feeling. January. Woo chow. Or, as my grandmother on my mother's side would say, oh my father. January has been a long month. It's been filled with nonstop breaking news, constant updates, and a steady stream of uncertainty. Whether it's concerns about your rights, your job, or your personal safety, it's understandable if you're feeling overwhelmed, exhausted, or even anxious. If that resonates with you, I want you to know that your feelings are valid. You are not alone in this. The weight of uncertainty can take a toll on your mental well-being. But there are ways to manage it, to create space for yourself, and to prioritize your peace. So before I go any further, let's take a few minutes to pause and reset with a guided breathing exercise. Wherever you are right now, if it's safe to do so, I invite you to close your eyes or soften your gaze. And take a deep breath in through your nose. Hold for a moment and slowly exhale through your mouth. And let's do that again. Inhale deeply, filling your lungs completely. Hold for a second and exhale slowly, releasing any tension. Now bring your awareness to your breath. And there's no need to change it, just notice it. The natural rhythm of your inhale and exhale. If your mind begins to wander, that's okay. Simply bring your focus back to your breath. With each inhale, imagine breathing in calm, steady energy. With each exhale, picture yourself releasing stress, worry, and anything weighing you down. And let's take three more slow, intentional breaths together. Inhale and exhale. Inhale and exhale. One more time. Inhale and exhale. And when you're ready, gently bring your awareness back to the space around you. Open your eyes if they were closed, and notice how you feel in this moment. A little lighter, a little more present. And as we continue today's episode, remember, you can always come back to this space, this moment of stillness, whenever you need. Let's move forward together, one breath at a time.
Listening to the Positive Professional Podcast with your host, me, Tracy Avon. This podcast is a weekly conversation about all things mental health, self-care, and wellness. And there'll be sprinkles of positivity, mindfulness, and guided meditations.
Welcome Welcome back to Season 6, Episode 4. And today, as we begin Black History Month, I want to take a deep dive into the history of mental health and its impact on the African American and Black community. Throughout this month, I'll examine how the field of mental health has been weaponized against African Americans and how systemic racism continues to influence mental health disparities, and what we can do to create change. For my first episode of this series, I'm going to be starting with a term that encapsulates the deeply racist foundations of psychiatry and medicine in the United States: drapedomania. You may be asking yourself, what is drapedomania? If you've never heard of it before, you're not alone. Drapedomania is a term that was coined in 1851 by Dr. Samuel A. Cartwright, a racist physician from Louisiana. According to Cartwright, this so-called mental illness was the reason enslaved Black people attempted to escape from their oppressors. In his deeply racist pseudoscientific theory, he argued that enslaved people who fled were suffering from a disorder that caused them to run away, and even suggested a treatment, more severe punishment, and religious instruction to make them more obedient. To put it plainly, drapedomania was a fabrication, a lie designed to justify the humane treatment of enslaved people. It was one of many ways in which pseudopsychiatry and medicine were used to uphold slavery and dehumanize African American people. To truly understand why drapedomania was created, we need to take a step back and examine what life was like for African American people in America in 1851. Slavery was still legal, and enslaved individuals were treated as property rather than human beings. My ancestors. They were subjected to extreme physical abuse, forced labor, and constant threat of being sold away from their families. Their labor built the wealth of the United States. And I'm going to say that one again. Their labor built the wealth of the United States. But they were denied even the most basic human rights. The very idea that an enslaved person would not want to escape such conditions was absurd. Yet, to maintain the institution of slavery, people like Dr. Cartwright sought out to pathologize the natural human instinct for freedom. By labeling escape as a mental illness rather than an act of resistance, slaveholders could reinforce their belief that slavery was a benevolent institution that Black people were inherently suited for bondage. And I'll share more in the next segment. Thankfully, by the late 19th century, drapedomania was widely discredited by the medical community. As the abolitionist movement gained traction and slavery was eventually abolished, the idea that enslaved people had a disease that made them want to run away was recognized for what it truly was: racist propaganda. But just as drapetomania is no longer considered a legitimate medical condition, doesn't mean its legacy is gone. In fact, this is exactly why I chose to begin my Black History Month series with this topic. It serves as a stark reminder of how science and medicine have historically weaponized Black people to justify oppression. So why does it matter today? Because while drapetomania as a diagnosis may be obsolete, the attitudes and structures that supported it still exist in various forms. African Americans continue to face disparities in mental health treatment, are more likely to be misdiagnosed, less likely to receive adequate care, and more likely to experience stigma when seeking help. Even today, African American people's resistance to injustice is often pathologized. The criminalization of Black protesters, the assumption that Black individuals experiencing mental health crises are more dangerous, and the continued mistrust between Black communities and the medical field all stem from this deeply rooted history. By understanding where these injustices come from, we can begin to dismantle them. We must remember this history, not as a relic of the past, but as a lesson in how racism continues to shape our institutions. We need to challenge the biases that persist in mental health care, educate ourselves and others about the intersection of race and psychology, and advocate for policies that ensure equitable treatment for all. As we continue Black History Month, this series is going to explore more examples of how mental health has been used to harm the Black and African American community, and more importantly, how we can move forward with healing and change. Thank you for joining me on this journey. If you found today's episode informative, I encourage you to share it with others. Let's keep this conversation going. Until next time, take care of your mental health and continue to challenge injustice everywhere you see it.
Thanks for listening and supporting this podcast. And make sure you're clicking the like and subscribe button. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Stay safe, be well, and don't forget to be the best version of you.